trades in Canada are not perceived as something that parents would wish their children to participate in for the most part.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Hello, my name is Rolf Priestnitz. Well, I started out as a plumber in 1965, took over my dad's hot water heating and plumbing business when I was in grade 11, and really felt that the trades was something that I could really put my teeth into. And over the 40 years that I've been both a plumber and now a steam fitter as well, I felt that training the new people coming along was something that I wanted to do when I was ready to retire or become more involved with formal teaching, I guess, rather than just mentoring on the job. Starting in 1972, I took the opportunity to take some instructor training at Purdue University and then became a professor at Mohawk College and started teaching the plumbing trade. And over the years, I've gone back from teaching and also going back in the field and working as a foreman and a piping superintendent, that sort of thing. I've worked in Edmonton as a pipe fitting instructor, and more recently in Toronto as a part-time, initially, steam fitting professor, and then a full-time steam fitting professor, and then a program coordinator, coordinating professors in the plumbing, steam fitting, and welding trades. Then I became a chair of apprenticeship programs at George Brown College in Toronto, Canada, and now I'm the director there.
I know you're also the publisher of Lifeline Magazine.
Yes, I'm a book and magazine publisher, have been for 30 years. The first magazine that I started was Natural Life Magazine in 1976. And more recently, we now publish Life Learning Magazine, which takes some of the principles that I've learned about apprenticeship programs and applies them to homeschooling and some distance learning and learning in a slightly different way, learning by doing rather than being in an overly structured environment.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Was that obviously there's the entrepreneurial push that you're involved in, that apprenticeship, that kind of business, doing your own thing. What are the different kinds of trades that are maybe lacking, that are underrepresented right now in Canada?
One of the trade tickets that I carry is steam fitting. And steam fitting is actually on the decline as far as the numbers of steam fitters in the country. We had something in the order of 25,000 steam fitters 20 years ago, and now that's declined to 17,000. And yet the demand is the reverse. We require more steam fitters, particularly in provinces like Alberta and British Columbia, where they could easily use another 2,000-3,000 immediately.
I was interested in learning how to make violins. That was something. I just find it really difficult to find anyone that I could even approach. It seems to be, on all levels, there's not that much out there. I'm wondering how can we address this and what you're doing to address that issue?
Trades in Canada are not perceived as something that parents would wish their children to participate in for the most part. And what's happening is the Canadian Apprenticeship Forum is spending millions of dollars trying to change that attitude in Canada, because the lack of new entrants into the trades through apprenticeship is preventing industry from moving ahead. We have a need for something in the order of 500,000 new apprentices coming through in the next 5 years. The construction sector and the service sector and the automotive sector and the industrial sector in Canada. So it's a major problem, and there's cooperation amongst various levels of government to try and correct that.
You have been involved, and you are still involved in the movement to kind of like raise the status. You want to just talk a bit about that? What kind of groups are there, or programs?
Yes, there's the Canadian Apprenticeship Forum, which is a national industry sector group sponsored by the federal government. And that's a collection of people with an interest in apprenticeship and the trades from across Canada, from British Columbia to Newfoundland and the territory. The meetings occur every 2 years, but there's lots of work that's done in between. There are formal apprenticeship programs, and then there are numerous informal mentorship programs. A formal apprenticeship program is one that requires registration with a local government. And the mentorship program is something that's much wider and would involve artists and other areas.
I'm Noam Chomsky. You're listening to Radio Free School on CFMU 93.3.
Okay, so say for instance a youth was interested in getting involved in an apprenticeship or a mentorship situation. How would they do that? How easy is it to actually do that?
The formal apprenticeship approach is quite difficult. What it requires is the first step is to find an employer, and that's often not easy for someone that's young and perhaps just out of school, and heaven forbid someone hasn't finished their grade 12 or the senior level of school, wherever the jurisdiction is. Finding that initial job is the trick, and that's something that there isn't all that much help for. There are some formal programs in the province of Ontario. We have an Ontario Youth Apprenticeship Program. That's a program where high school students in grade 11 or 12 can take a co-op credit, go out and either 8 or 10 weeks continuously with an employer in a co-op situation, or some school boards take the opportunity to have students go out one day a week for the entire year. That's a way of getting into an apprenticeship program. Then there's an accelerated OYAP program where the students in high school actually attend community college such as George Brown College to get the in-school training for the basic level of their apprenticeship training. In that case, they take the 8 to 10 weeks of on-the-job training, and then they come to a training institution and take another 8 weeks of intensive basic level training. That training then will be augmented with another year of on-the-job training, and then an intermediate level in-school training for another 8 weeks, and then another year of on-the-job training where the apprentice actually earns while they learn. And again, the apprentice then will come back to a community college and take their advanced level training, and then go work for another year with an employer, and then write a certificate of qualification exam to become a journey person. If they pass that exam with a high enough percentage in most cases, then they get what's called an interprovincial seal. That seal allows the individual to travel in Canada across various provinces to ply their trade without having to go through another apprenticeship or without having to write another certificate of qualification exam.
So it's still really in the context of an institution then, right? There's not, that's really the formal method, but I'm wondering about the informal apprenticeships. Are there any programs that you're involved in or you know about? Was it your daughter who set up something for home educating kids, some kind of exchange?
Yes, Heidi Priestnitz set up the Mentor Apprenticeship Exchange, and that was a very informal way of introducing mentorship and apprenticeship to the general public. It was really quite well received in the farming industry, where organic farmers would ask for trainees or apprentices to come for the summer and learn a lot about organic farming and have some of the interaction with the farm family from the apprentice's own experience in other areas. So there was a real cultural exchange there. It was quite interesting.
And is there anything similar still going on?
No, I'm not familiar with anything that's still going on, other than the wolfing organization that allows people and families to spend some time on an organic farm. It's usually a much lesser period of time. It's not the whole summer. It's basically a 2-3 week period for the most part. But that's something that's arranged between individuals after being introduced through the woofing. One of the better ways of getting into an apprenticeship program is to take a two-year technician program in the area of interest. Someone that's just coming out of their senior year of high school will be able to take a two-year program at a community college, learn the basics of a trade. At George Brown College in Toronto, Canada, we have, as an example, an HVAC program, a heating, ventilation, and air conditioning program that will allow a student to learn the fundamentals of a trade. An employer would be much happier to pick up and start an apprenticeship with someone who has gone through that two-year program. Typically, half of the students that pass that program go on to an apprenticeship. The other group may be interested in technical sales or working in a factory setting in air conditioning, refrigeration, actually building the units, which is not an apprenticeship program, unfortunately. But the on-the-job construction installation of air conditioning is an apprenticeship, and we have very large companies like Direct Energy that would quite easily pick up all our graduates at George Brown College and register them as apprentices. So that's one very formal, simple way of being able to enter into an apprenticeship with an employer is by having sort of previous academic experience. Another way is to go through the OYAP program, the Ontario Youth Apprenticeship Program. And that's where students in the senior years of high school will actually spend some time with an employer in a co-op placement, which again introduces the employer to the qualities that a young person may have in order to register them or consider registering them for an apprenticeship program. In Ontario, the Ministry of Training, Colleges and Universities has called up and asked what sort of accommodation can or should be made for homeschooled individuals that want to become apprentices. For most apprenticeship programs, there's the minimum academic requirement. It's either grade 10 or grade 12 in Ontario. And if a homeschooled student hasn't gone through some sort of formal evaluation to demonstrate equivalency to grade 10 or grade 12, then the Ministry of Training, Colleges and Universities will not consider registering that individual for an apprenticeship program. I guess a compromise would be for the individual to actually take an equivalency exam and demonstrate the equivalent of a high school graduation.
In your opinion, can we change that view that, you know, the trades are not as respected? And
federal government in Canada and most of the provincial governments in Canada have spent considerable amounts of money to advertise and promote trades of all kinds. Recently, there were a series of television and radio promotions indicating the differences perhaps between a plumber and a doctor, that sort of thing, and, you know, which one drives the Porsche, asking questions of that nature to try and equate trades and professions a bit closer. In fact, the plumber will make quite a bit more money within the first 10 years of entering into an apprenticeship and then becoming a journey person than a doctor, because the first 7 years of becoming a doctor is basically in school, and the remuneration is a negative one. There's quite a bit of money involved outlaying. There's a lot of money involved in tuitions, living expenses, while someone's learning to become a doctor. So it's not until much later, after 30 or 40 years, that the two salary levels even out. There's a tremendous advantage to becoming a plumber first and then becoming a doctor after that, once you have the funds to pay for the university. And financial reward shouldn't be the only reason to enter into a trade or any profession. Someone that goes into the trades early becomes an apprentice, and then after 2 to 5 years becomes a journey person, has a much more stable income, and then can do other things, such as publishing magazines or becoming a doctor.
Getting by the hooks, walking down the street, that fast dressed and everyone I meet. The bank, I know it's a dollar sold. Local economy is right offshore. What's in the hair on a suburban mall? The guys have been forming pretty stalls. But
drugs, I resist, which I should. Societal labeling's a rip off of blood, but you gotta have it, you don't really need it in the disposable world. Don't even know what it says, because they're in disposable world. Run by money, addicts collect, daydream activate, on them all. We make our money out the entitled to. Nobody's gonna say it's up to you. Chinese can't take to a machine. Don't deserve a little green. Cause what goes around, who comes around? What makes you think of this town? With the facts and the bread lies. Don't you know it's just a matter of time? But you gotta have it, you don't really need it in a disposable world. Don't even know what it does, but so serious. Disposable world. But my money addicts collect, then trees actually on a ball. Yo! In a money man right where it counts, in his wallet and his bank account. Don't buy it, whether you will see. Jobs are done for you and me. It's time to turn on the company now. Don't know where, but we can't chase them out. Peace and justice for one and all. The CEO, man, he's gotta fall. But you gotta have it, you don't really need it in a disposable world. Don't even know what it does, but some tell ya. Disposable world. Run by money, and it's collect. Get it, creep back to the on them all.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
As a lifelong advocate of homeschooling, I think direction that a lot of school boards are going with trying to integrate the community into their learning curriculum is something that bodes well. My advocacy for homeschooling hasn't necessarily been at the exclusion of the school boards. What I really wanted to do was demonstrate that there are systems, there are ways of learning that differ from what the formal education system has to offer. And really what I wanted to do is be more radical and try and actually change the public education system rather than just shunning it and trying to do my own thing by allowing my daughters to homeschool. I wanted to make a political statement. I wanted to demonstrate the benefits of integrating more into the community with both of my daughters. Heidi and Nami are quite entrepreneurial and independent thinking. Both went to high school. They made that decision when they were 13, 14. They did not go to public school. I think there was one day that they both went to a public school in Edmonton, Edmonton, Alberta, to, I guess, be part of a show and tell. They were in a ballet class. There were a number of students within a public school system that wanted to demonstrate that homeschooled children, you know, didn't all have two heads, that sort of thing.
Yes.
So they came in and just talked to the class for a few minutes, and by doing that, I think they felt that their own experience in homeschooling was validated. Internationally, the more formal trades, training, and apprenticeship programs is growing. There are countries in the Caribbean, countries such as China, that are now embracing a more formalized apprenticeship program. That's not to say that the informal apprenticeship programs, the mentoring that happened before, was not valid, but I think in order to promote the whole idea of mentorship and apprenticeship, I think having a more formal funded system is a good idea. What it does is provides the minimum standards for both the trainee, the apprentice, and the employer, and then also provides the third party, the sort of a training institution, to be involved in that. The other thing that hasn't really come up is the fact that apprenticeship programs, unlike going to university, allow you to earn while you learn. And that's, I think, the key. within formal apprenticeship programs, mm-hmm. there are systems in place to allow for in-school training, to interrupt the learning by doing with an employer. So about 90% of the learning is actually done on the job with an employer, and only 10% is done in a training institution such as George Brown College. In Ontario, while apprentices attend that 8-week or 10-week training period, they actually receive employment insurance. The major cost of the tuition is actually paid by the provincial government, and the students are required to pay a very minimum $10 a day. That arrangement is one that allows the apprentices to learn from each other in a system that also has a seasoned journey person as a professor to help them learn. This training component that's outside of that mentor-apprenticeship relationship that allows for the apprentice to take a step back and also have discussions with other apprentices to cross-learn the various aspects of the trade. In the olden days, if one master was perhaps incorrect in some of the techniques of the trade, that incorrect technique or that inefficient technique would be passed on from master to apprentice. And it's much easier now in a modern age to correct those problems and to have apprentices discuss with each other various techniques of the trade to make sure that there's progress in how tradespeople apply the trade. There's a very interesting specialized trade. There's the specialized trade of entertainment industry power technician, more commonly called a roadie.
Uh-huh.
And that's one that's just starting up. So there's about, in Ontario, there's about 140 different apprenticeship programs, anywhere from hairstylist to plumber. And this roadie, or entertainment industry power technician, is a really good example of a specialized trade where the industry has gotten together and said, we need to have some training, you know, not just for the Rolling Stones, but for concerts of all kinds and for other venues, to have a program in place so that people, first of all, don't get hurt, so that there's not, you know, large towers that fall over onto crowds, so that there's some information about the quality of the equipment and the quality of the installation, make sure there's no electrical hazards involved in these large or perhaps small venues where there's an impromptu arrangement usually of electrical equipment.
One more question now concerning guilds. Is that still around?
Cities and guilds is something that's still around in England, although the number of years of apprenticeship programs and the procedures involved in that has been watered down over the last 5 years. What they do have in England that's different than the Canadian and the North American apprenticeship system is they have sort of higher levels of master designations where the guild actually controls the criteria for the professors and the instructors and the teachers of the trade as well, the mentors that are involved. In North America, the apprenticeship program relies on professors in a community college or instructors in perhaps a night school program. It also involves, of course, journey persons that mentor apprentices on the job. But in England, with the cities and guilds, it's the mentorship programs help the journey person and the professors learn that craft of mentoring, which is something that really is lacking in North America. I wish that could be corrected.
Take chances! Make mistakes! Get messy!
Who did you ride? A bully and a nice one?
Buster. Well, he's not really a bully, he's cute. But Buster and Sky. Now, Sky wouldn't hurt anybody because Sky's so cute.
Was it scary to be so high up on a big horse like that? They were quite big, weren't they?
No, it wasn't scary.
So did you get to go outside on the horse?
Yes, of course.
So it wasn't just in the barn?
No, it wasn't. It was around the barn.
And what saddle did you wear?
On Buster, Buster was wearing a Western saddle, and Skye had an English one. I like both of them. The Western one had the horn, but the English one didn't, so I had to hold on to the saddle itself. And
did you hold on to the mane?
Yeah, no. Didn't want to pull any out. And you know Buster? Mm-hmm. I made him stop and go. Mm-hmm. You know how I did that?
Mm-mm.
This is how I made him stop. You go, whoa! That's how you make him stop.
Uh-huh.
In a firm voice, and you say, walk on to make him walk.
Uh-huh.
In the same tone of voice.
And what else did you do there? Did you muck?
No. The chores were already done.
Huh.
But I got to groom.
Did you have to use soap on him?
I groomed Biscuit. No way. I didn't use soap. I'm not experienced enough to use soap on him. It wasn't Buster. I wasn't grooming Buster. I was grooming Biscuit. And the horse didn't step on my toes.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that cool?
You brushed them then? How did you do?
I just took a brush. It wasn't a curry comb, just a nice brush.
Yeah.
A soft brush. And I brushed it the way the hair grew.
And did you have to, pick the hooves?
No, another girl did it.
Uh-huh.
She was showing me.
Is it a friendly place over there then?
Yep.
You gonna go again?
Yeah, maybe next month.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night. I roller skated to your door at daylight. It almost seems like you're avoiding me. I'm okay alone, but you got something I need. Well, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. Something for me. Oh, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. I ride my bike, I roller skate. Don't drive no car. Don't go too fast, but I go pretty far. For somebody who don't drive, I've been all around the world. Some people say I done all right.
On the top of my head, I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.